Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, the conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hi.
And we're joined this month by another one of the OGs, longtime friend of the show and notorious underage drinker. It's Israel Sanchez.
Hello. Hey.
That's right. And he's not alone, everybody. Please give a warm welcome as well to Britta. Hey.
Yay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
We didn't. Oh, by the way, Britta is Israel's fiance. So there you go.
Yep.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I heard the proper way of doing that is you say congratulations to the guy.
Yes.
And then you say best wishes to the lady.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that before.
No?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I guess.
That's what they told me, like at work or whatever.
Congratulations and good luck.
Yeah.
That sounds more like it.
Good luck with that guy, you know. I heard he has a little bit of a drinking problem. Anyways, I always laugh at that because, so for those who don't know or didn't hear the story, back one of the times when Israel was on, we would put out these pictures to promote the show on social media and stuff. And Israel provided us with a picture of a story that he shared on the podcast, which was, I guess he took a trip down to Mexico when he was young. And as you do in Mexico, they took a picture of the young kids holding like a little Corona. And this one lady on Facebook, she was like, oh no, like what's going on? Like this is not good. Like, I don't know. She wasn't even a listener. I think she was, you know how like on Facebook.
It just shows.
Yeah, just like if somebody's tagged and somehow they're related to them or something, it shows up. So lady didn't like it. We almost got canceled, but,
oh, man.
But here we are. We showed
just
her.
Having a good time.
We made it.
Anyway, and then something else we did want to point out was that you guys will probably all notice a pattern. We had C-Flow on, we had Rudy on, now we have Israel on, and all three of them were bachelors back in the original LPP days, and all three of them have lady friends now. So congratulations.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
You guys got to go on like a triple date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, Israel, how you been? How have both of you guys been? Britta, Israel?
Good. I think the last time I was on the podcast was probably like a good 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I was still living with my grandma. And I was working at Disney. I'm out of my grandma's house now.
Yeah, and, officially 4 years almost.
Yeah. I guess you want to tell how it happened.
Yeah, well, we had been dating and then we used to work together. So I used to see it. We used to see each other all the time at work. And then when we didn't work together, we'd maybe see each other like once or twice during the week. And I finally was like, you know, this doesn't really work for me. So if we're going to do this, like, let's move in, let's try it. Or I don't really want to do this at all anymore. And he's like, oh,
damn.
Okay.
Ultimatum.
Damn.
Yeah. That's what I like.
Hey, grandma. But,
yeah. Grandma.
You told his grandma this or you told him this?
No, I told him this. He told his grandma.
Grandma, I'm sorry, but you got to spread my wings.
But it was a slow move in. It was like one piece here, one piece there.
Started with just one
shirt
drawer
at a time. Yeah. I'm like, you know, it's not living here, right? You actually have to like live here.
Yeah.
Physically be here is living here.
Yeah.
And now she's like, you have too much stuff.
I'm like, can you take some of this back to your grandma's?
Dude, I think that's what Denise did to me. Yeah. Because we lived with my in-laws for a while, right? And then, so a lot of my stuff stayed at home because I was like, well, I mean, there's not a lot of room. We can't just bring all my stuff. And then, yeah, when we finally moved in here, I was like, you know what? I have a couple boxes at home. I gotta go pick up.
He has his own room, dude.
And yeah, now it's like, nice. I got too much stuff here now, so.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm sure Denise feels your pain.
It only gets worse. I'm just telling you.
I know.
It's true.
Good luck.
Yeah.
But that is so crazy because like now I can't imagine like moving to another place because it'd be like, dude, we have so much stuff.
You have so much stuff.
You have stuff too, dude. Anyways, let's not argue. Let's not argue in front of the guests. but so that's great. So then after that, you guys have been living together for a while now.
Yeah, the pandemic really forced you to stay, like actually move in, because you couldn't go back and see your grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would go like maybe once or twice a week, still stay at my grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, when the pandemic happened, I couldn't go at all. So that kind of sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, we made it through the pandemic. Both came out alive. Yeah. We got engaged. It's been a little more than a year.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'm excited about that.
I know. It's like, it's hard to remember like where I was last time I saw you, but yeah, a lot's happened. So
for sure. And then, yeah, I don't mean to pry, but I never know what's appropriate to ask about, like, oh, so like, when's the wedding? Like, do you guys know yet? Is that okay to ask?
I don't yeah, know.
Oh, yeah. July 1st is the wedding.
Nice.
And we're kind of, well, not kind of, we are doing two weddings.
Oh, snap.
Because I had family in North Dakota that couldn't travel. And we felt like, well, we wanted to include them. So we're having a small family wedding with both of our families there. And then we'll have one out here in September.
Nice.
Yeah. That my coworker's doing the same thing. So he had a destination wedding and a lot of people couldn't go to that. So then they had like a second wedding, like kind of like a smaller thing just for everybody that couldn't go. So anyways, Israel, would you like to tell all the folks at home what the theme is, why you chose it, all that good stuff?
The theme is return, right? And the song I picked is Volver. Yeah, I feel like it's a no-brainer. It's the first song that came to my head. It's probably like maybe a little bit too easy of a pick, but I just couldn't not pick it. So
yeah. When you told us the theme, well, when you told Denise the theme, I was like, oh, is this his song? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, nice. Yeah. All right. So here we go. We're gonna go ahead and play it. Do you want to do a little radio DJ intro?
Sure. And here we go with our first song, the classic Volver, Volver by Vicente Fernandez.
Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado por volver. Voy camino a la locura y aunque todo me tortura, sé querer. Nos dejamos hace tiempo, pero me llegó el momento de perder. Tenías mucha razón, le hago caso al corazón y me muero por volver.
Y volver, volver, volver a tus brazos otra vez.
Good thing we're drinking because, yeah, this song calls for some drinking.
Sounds a little better when you're drinking.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything does, but yeah.
True.
Yeah. So, Israel, what's the story behind this song? Like, I feel like everybody's heard this song because it's just like they play it at all the quinceañeras, all the birthday parties.
Yeah. I think that it's a song that maybe stops the party a little bit so everybody can get a little emotional and feel it. And
give their Mexican love cry.
That's right. And it's going to be, we picked it as the last song of the night for our wedding, California wedding. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's a song that's going to let everybody know the night's over. It's time to go home.
like, all right, we're get going. So Denise mentioned the Mexican love cry. Britt, are you familiar with the Mexican love cry?
I am. I can't do it, but he can.
Oh, can you do it?
I can, but
give him a few more beers. The first time he ever played the song for me, and he told me the name of it, and then another time later, I was like, "Oh, can you play that song, Volver, Volver?" We're around his family, and they're like, "What?"
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, Sifo also does a pretty good Mexican.
Oh,
love
yes, cry. Yes.
Yeah. And he'll just do it like. Anytime.
We'll
be anywhere. Just do it.
I believe that.
Yeah. Cecil is pretty hardcore.
I'm familiar with this song. I guess growing up, my mom's favorite version and my grandma's favorite version was by Ana Gabriel.
Okay.
Is that right? Really? Oh, okay.
So it's just, I just know the female version. Like, and I know Vicente Fernandez, he didn't write it, but he did make it famous. So credit to him. But growing up, I just knew that female version. So yeah.
That's a good version.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that version.
Yeah. Oh, Ezra, you got to play it on the way home. So Ana Gabriel, my mom freaking would play Ana Gabriel all the time. And like, I don't, her voice kind of gets to me after a while where it's like a little too whiny. Like it sounds like she's crying the whole time. And I'm just like, all right, lady, I get it.
But come on. Easy.
So it's very emotional. It's very like, and it's a lot of love songs, a lot of ballads. And it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. Come on, man. Who hurt you?
But I remember my mom like looking for that CD, like I probably like at Best Buy or something, because I feel like that's the place she would go. She would never go to like Tower Records with me and my dad or whatever. But yeah, like looking for that and like and bringing it like to my grandma and stuff. So I was just wondering, like, do you have like a memory like with this song? Like,
not really. It's just one of those things that was always you don't remember when you first heard it because it's such an early memory. So, yeah.
Yeah, as Denise mentioned, it was written by you mentioned he didn't write it, but the person that wrote it is Fernando Z. Maldonado. And yeah, it was popularized by Vicente Fernandez in 1973. It's been covered by more than 20 artists, and plus everybody and their mother, you know, when they sing it at karaoke or wherever. And Vicente Fernandez, I didn't know he had been around for that long, like since like the 70s. Well, he started in like 66, but he didn't really get popular until he recorded this song, which was in 73. And he recorded more than 100 albums and contributed to more than 30 films. So, I mean, he was pretty prolific.
Wow.
Yeah, he died recently.
Yeah.
21st.
Rip.
Poor one out. And December 2021, I guess he had the same idea that you guys had for your wedding, because at his memorial service, this was like the last song they played. And he kind of like requested that be the song. And yeah, I feel like it was the same thing. He's like, all right, that's it. Everybody go home.
That's how you know.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Yeah, has Israel played any other songs by Chente?
Probably. Yeah. He's played so much. I think first time I was really introduced to like this type of music was we took a road trip up to San Francisco like probably 6-7 years ago. And I think you finally felt comfortable enough, like, okay, I'm gonna like, I've had enough of this, because there was like one playlist on repeat with like R&B, like pop, and I think you were finally like, okay, enough, I have to play this person like the music that I also really enjoy listening to. I just remember that trip probably was the first time you played it for me.
We don't really play it too much anymore. It's like you're kind of, my nephew's into Mexican music, so I'll kind of norteños and stuff like that, so he's gotten us into different stuff, so we don't listen to the traditional rancheras as much anymore. So we've kind of moved on a little bit.
All right, so that was that for Chente. Denise, what's your song?
I wanted to branch out because honestly, the first two songs that popped into my head were Return of the Mac and Volver, Volver. So I had to do a deep dive. I reached out like on social media. I got some jams. Since I do another podcast, like the 110 podcast, which features one song in 10 minutes of a small local band with less than 1,000 listens on Spotify, I just said, I have to listen to something else. I just have to look up Return on Spotify and just listen through some songs and see what else is, see what I like and just pick something different. So I picked The Thermals. I don't even know my song. What is it?
Returning to the Fold.
Yeah, Returning to the Fold.
That's how new it is, guys.
Yeah, that's all. Like, and I remember The Thermals like being thrown around with like my punk friends, I guess, because they were established in 2002 and they kind of, I guess, like, broke up in 2018 or stopped making music in 2018. But like, I do remember that name being thrown around, but never like really getting into it. But when I played this song, it just reminded me of other bands that I dig now. So, and it has the word return in it. So I'm just, Rod's going to play it for us right now.
Maybe when I die, I'll describe it.
guitar riff for me. And there's a line that he says, I can't believe I think he says, I can't believe I got so far with the head this empty.
Dude, I wrote that down.
Yeah, that cut me deep in my panza. Like, yes, I was like, know. Yes, dude, yes. I don't know. I love that line.
That is a good line. And I was like, yes, dude, like, I relate.
High five. And just him, like, he's like, wait for me. Like, I was really digging this song. And just other artists that I love now, later in life, was that it reminded me of was Mountain Goats. I really love the Mountain Goats. And Rod had also mentioned that it kind of sounds like Against Me. And
well, the vocals.
And I feel like those are, well, not so much like Laura Jane now.
Yeah, Laura Jane Grief. Yeah.
But what's his name? Darnielle?
Yeah, I don't know.
John Darnielle, yeah, from the Mountain Goats. And this guy, whoever this guy, I don't even know his name, from the Thermal.
Rude.
Like, they just have that voice where they're not really singing. Like, I don't know, maybe you took vocal classes, but they're not like Josh Groban or anything. You know what I mean? They're just mm-hmm. like shouting out the lyrics, which is kind of my style, where I just like, this is me singing and playing, like, and this is what I have to say. So
wait, who's Josh Groban?
Oh my God. We've had this conversation like 10 times. So I think he's known for like his Christmas albums and stuff.
Oh,
he used to
beautiful, beautiful voice.
Oh, okay, he does. Okay. He has. And oh, Rick Glassman did that video with him playing piano.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Rick Glassman.
He's like some comedian.
Yeah.
But he did like some video online where he's giving him like vocal tips.
Yeah. Like Rick Glassman is like critiquing him and his piano playing.
Like,
and his
vocals. That's funny. Like this.
Yeah. And he's so, like, okay.
Obviously, because, he's a great singer, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know any songs.
Oh, anyway, man.
Sorry.
Yeah. I should have picked a Josh Groban song.
pull an audible one.
I feel like he's, I can't even say like modern day, but like think of Josh, not Josh.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé. I feel like one of those like just has a beautiful voice.
Would you call him a crooner?
I don't know what that means. Like, what that means.
What that means.
Like that means. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. And I feel like, he mostly does covers, right? Like, does he have
like staples,
original
right?
Stuff?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like big ballads.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Gotta play the This Is Josh Groban on Spotify.
But I just think he's a funny dude. I've seen him in like a few like clips. And I think he's like funny too. He used to date Kat Dennings. That's like the only like other thing I know about him. Like.
Nice.
You have a lot of
I have an old coworker, like my very first like subbing job, one of the other APE teachers was obsessed with Josh Groban. She would play that like while like working out with kids, and I was like, really? Like, this is what you motivate?
Yeah, those are some
with?
Deep cuts.
Get everybody pumped up.
But she also did like the dance team with them, so it's like special needs. So, was really beautiful or whatever. So, at times when they with the final, you know, production for everyone. But while they were practicing, I mean, it's like any practice. It's like, oh, keep practicing. Yeah. But anyways,
so mean.
What, dude? That's for anyone. Like, you need to keep practicing.
Anyways, what did you guys think about the? What was it again? Returning to the Fold by the Thermals.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. I'd never heard of band or the song before.
So is this a band that you found that has less than 1,000?
Oh, no. But I just wanted to branch out and pick something new. So, it has way more than 1,000 listens. I think this is off their third album from 2006. So I feel like it was like fairly like in the beginning before they faded out. I don't know. I thought it was good. Like, I might check out more. I haven't because I'm so busy with the 110. But yeah, I might check this band out like later.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So that third album is The Body, The Blood, The Machine. And fun fact, it was produced by Fugazi's Brendan Canty. There you go. You got a little Fugazi in there. Oh, one other thing. According to the band's official website, the album tells the story of a young couple who must flee a United States governed by fascist faux Christians. Sounds a little getting a little close to home nowadays. But we're not a political podcast, so let's move on. Anyways, up next, we got Britta. All right. Ready to take it away, Britta?
Yes. So this is Return of the Back by Mark Morrison. Hit it. Story
banger, y'all. Mm-hmm. All right, Britta, can you give us a little bit more info on why you chose it?
Yeah, when Israel said, oh, pick a song, you know, think of something that has the word return in it or meaning of return. Like, that was, for me, the first song that came to mind. It's just, I guess, for me, a classic. I grew up in the 90s, so I just think about, like, early 90s and all that encapsulates, like, comes with that time. And that's, I don't know. I feel like most music at that time sounded like that song. That's what I listened to growing up.
For sure. To me, it's one of those songs where, like, I couldn't tell you the first time I heard it. I've just, like, known it. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, yeah, I know that song.
Yeah,
like, right. I don't know where I heard it, but yeah. I was kind of grateful that somebody did bring that song because, you know, it forced me to do a little bit of research on it. And I didn't know this, but apparently Mark Morrison is British.
Yes. He was born in Germany.
Really?
Oh, wow. Look at you with the fun facts. Yeah, I didn't know that. I was like, what? I was honestly thinking, oh, it's like some dude from LA, you know, with like all the other 90s people that sounded
exactly
like this. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, Denise, you were saying, well, you have some facts of your own, so you can go ahead and share those.
Well, he actually has 10 hits in the UK, but this was his only international hit. So his US hit, or his only, like, in the US, he's technically like a one-hit wonder. And that's what I want to, like, I feel like that's what every artist strives for. Yeah, you want to put out, like, keep putting out bangers, but I'd be fine with just, like, one-hit wonder, man. Like, that they still, didn't they just use this in a commercial, like, recently?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, yes, dude, that guy is still racking up royalties. I mean, he might be in jail. I don't know. There was a little trouble in his past.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the dream. Just that one is all you need, man, just to keep bringing in those royalties. So
that's true.
Yeah, I got to give props to him.
I guess I thought you were just gonna say, like, yeah, he was like a one-hit wonder here, because in the UK he had a bunch of he had 5 top 10 singles. I just want to share some of the song titles with you guys.
Yeah, he had.
So one was Let's Get Down, then there was Return of the Mac, then Crazy Remix, there was Trippin', there was Moan and Groan. Is this a typo? Did I mess up my notes?
What was it? Because I read them, but
I had one that's just, it's just called Horny.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
So I guess we all know what kind of stuff he was into.
Moan and Groan was also a minor hit in the US, but only 76. Really? So.
Oh, sad time. Sad time.
So not considered
a hit.
A hit. Yeah.
Also, another fun fact, in 2000, he became the first and only European artist to be signed to Death Row Records.
So, oh, wow.
There you go.
Interesting.
Nice.
But I don't think he ever actually got to release anything on Death Row Records because he kept getting in trouble with the law.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And he was in jail. Yeah.
Sad times. Israel, what'd you think about the song?
It's a classic. Started to hear it in commercials and like on a little Instagram clips and stuff like that. So I feel like it's making a comeback. It's a good song.
That's true. That is something to be said about how, like, TikTok and I feel like TikTok's the really big one.
Yeah.
Like the kids use. We're like, yeah, like if a song just like hits on TikTok, it's like, dude, it's like everywhere. Like everyone's using it. So they got to put it in a Stranger Things and then it'll really get big.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you heard this song by any chance? Or
I don't know.
No. Yeah, it's just one of those like it's there.
Yeah.
I feel because it was everywhere. Like, like even my Nino sang this song. Like he would come in like bumping this and then, like singing it. Yeah.
All right. For those who don't know, your Nino is your godfather.
My godfather, yeah.
All right. We have some Canadian listeners that might be like, what the hell is a Nino?
Joe.
Ninos always play the best music.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I got into a Pearl Jam. And...
Oh, that is true. Yeah, it was your Nino. That's true.
Shout out to my Nino.
You gotta make it official.
I called him Nino, but like everyone else called him Uncle Bob. So
wasn't everybody else's Nino.
Yeah, I know. I know, but I just wanted, I don't know. It was just funny that he was an Uncle Bob. Like, I don't know. Bobs are funny.
All right.
Like Bob from La Bamba.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either.
Then why are you laughing?
What?
From the movie La Bamba?
Bob? I think I've seen it like once, like a long
time. Oh, okay. Yeah. Bob, he was like the troublemaker. He was the classic bad influence uncle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Before like my Nino became my Nino, I feel like, we've heard stories like of my Nino's younger days and we're like, what? Like, how did you end up with my Nina?
I did have somebody that wanted to say hi, Israel, real quick.
Hey guys, hey, it's me, Susan Thompson.
Sanchez.
Hey, yes. Susan, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, cousin Israel?
I'm doing good. Long time no see.
Yes. I tried to move in with our grandma, but you know, she didn't let me in during the pandemic, so I had to stay here. Oh, man. Okay. It's all good, but I just want to say hi.
Yeah, I think you were like, hey, can I take Israel's room? And she was like, nah.
It's too much stuff in there still.
Yeah. That's the excuse she gave her, yeah. She's like, oh, he still hasn't moved out completely. Yeah. Grandma.
He might be back.
Did you notice he brought somebody with him, Susan?
Yes. I'm so excited to be the maid of honor, and I have my dress all ready, and I have 3 bachelorette parties planned. It is going to be good time.
It's going to be a good summer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Susan, do you want to give a shout out to anybody before you go or anything?
I just want to say...
All right. That's enough, Susan, for today. All right. Well, Israel, we just thought we'd bring her out just since it's been so long.
Yeah.
And we wanted to let you know that she did survive the pandemic.
I was going
to
ask. I was like, I was worried.
She says you never checked in on her.
I know. I'm sorry.
She figured maybe you lost her phone number. So. She's like, has Israel called, guys? We're like, nah. Yeah.
He's on lockdown.
But she's good, unfortunately. She's still here. All right. And with that, we move on to the final song of the evening. I went with a little ditty called Will You Return by the Avett Brothers. This band has been... I mean, everybody knows the Avett Brothers, right? They're a pretty popular band. No?
The Avett Brothers?
Yeah.
I'm sad to say don't know.
Oh, I'm excited then. All right. Dope. All right. So they've been around since the year 2000. The song I chose comes from their 5th album, Emotionalism, which was released in 2007. This album was their big break, and this is something we touch on here from time to time, which is it's crazy how long it takes for musicians to gain recognition, right? So they formed in 2000. It wasn't until 2007 that they got their big break. If you're a musician, you're out there listening to this, and you're trying to get your music heard, and you're barely on year like 2 or 3, don't give up because you still have a few more to go. So hang in there. My personal story with this song is back in like 2008, I think, I bought a Zune. Do you guys remember a Zune? So it was like the less cool iPod. Like Microsoft made them. And like, so that tells you everything.
Oh, man.
So I was like, dude, I don't want an iPod. I want a Zune. Like, I want to be cool, right? Which was like so dumb, but whatever. So I got a Zune.
I mean, I feel like you have a Pixel. Like, you don't have an iPhone.
That's
like,
true.
It's just like.
In my DNA, man. Yeah.
The Zunes are the ones who could share music by putting them together.
I think you could do that. Yeah. It had an FM tuner. Was pretty dope, you know. And another cool thing is it came preloaded with, I think, like 4 or 5 songs.
Nice.
And,
4 or 5? I mean, at the time, yeah.
I mean, iPod didn't come with any songs in it.
Okay.
I mean, later on, they gave you that YouTube album for free.
I really wish you like had the songs that came preloaded.
I know.
I would be really curious to see those.
My Zune died, dude. It died. Yeah, otherwise, I'd probably still use it. But it died a long time ago. Sad. So this was one of the songs. This was the only song that I liked of the 5 that were in there. I just remember thinking like, man, this is a freaking banger. So here we go. This is Will You Return by the Avett Brothers. She walks up to me. Shit, I forgot to say. I started it a little bit, I think at the second verse, because there's a little bit of a bridge and a breakdown that I, because otherwise it just sounds like they're just repeating the same thing over and over. So it kind of helps to hear like the bridge. So.
I'll tell you what it sounds like afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways. All right. Here we go. There's something more to say.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it, everybody. That was Will You Return by the Avett Brothers. What'd you guys think about that one?
That was awesome.
Yeah?
The piano part was so cool.
I like that. I always like a banjo.
He's got a little bit of banjo, a little bit of a fiddle. I don't know the difference between a fiddle and a violin. I think it's just the way you play it. Because it's the same instrument.
I thought it was size.
Is it?
I thought a fiddle was smaller.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Size and strings.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
I used to play piano when I was a little girl. Or not piano, violin, sorry. There you go. Yeah, same difference.
I was like, how does that relate? Oh, okay. I dig it. That's cool.
Because we've always wondered. I feel like we've mentioned this three times and we've like never bothered to look it
why,
up.
Why look it up? You know, it's better just to make it up. But yeah,
that's more fun.
Yeah. It didn't sound familiar at all. You weren't like, oh, that's the band. No?
No.
Oh, man, you guys should really check them out. They got a lot of bangers.
Did it remind you of another song by a very popular, influential band from the UK?
I like had Mumford and Sons vibes to me.
Oh, man. No. Maybe it's just me.
I tend to prefer the Avett Brothers to Mumford and Sons because Mumford and Sons, like, they kind of get, like, real crazy with the banjo. And you're like, oh, okay, here we go. It's Mumford and Sons. You know what I mean? Where these guys, like, they use it, but moderately. You know what I mean? It's like they let the other instruments kind of be a part of the song. But, yeah, no, I get that. But Denise, I guess you're
trying to... The chord progression. And I know you can't copyright, like, chord progression. Ugh, why can't I say that? Chord progression.
Cutting you off,
Denise. But... To me, this was the Beatles, like All My Lovin', oh. Na 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 na, which I hate, like the
Denise
Beatles.
Singing Beatles songs, man.
I know that's very, very rare, but like no one else got that. Like I don't know, is it just me? And
I didn't get it.
No,
I didn't.
I'm gonna look up those chords. I should have looked up those chords.
Shut up.
Yeah, but anyways, I do. I like the Avett Brothers.
Avett,
whatever. One of their songs is on my emulate playlist, like songs that I want my songs to be like, not exactly, but just like, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an influence. Like,
yeah, yeah. But not this song because it reminded me of the Beatles. Like, I don't know. I thought it was like exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That. No, yeah. I remember like just playing with the Zune and just like going through the songs that were in there. And then this one started. I was like, dude, this is a banger. Like it blew my mind because at that point, I don't think I had really like gotten too much into Mumford and Sons. So like to me, it was like, oh, dude, this is so good. Yeah, so in preparation for this episode, I was watching a 2017 documentary, May It Last, A Portrait of the Avett Brothers. I haven't finished it yet, you know, because I'm, you know, it takes me a while. I'm a little slow.
He falls asleep or he gets
I do fall asleep. I do. But yeah, anyways, it follows them as they're making their ninth album, which came out in 2016, True Sadness. And that one was produced by Rick Rubin. So he's, you know, featured in the documentary, which is always fun. One of my favorite moments in there, which I feel like the Beatles totally ripped off afterwards. Speaking of the Beatles, did you guys watch that super long Beatles documentary?
I did.
On Disney Plus?
I did not. Like,
Hush five.
You did?
I did.
Yeah, I got through maybe like the first two episodes. And then I was like, okay, well, I kind of like, I don't know. I just got distracted with other things. But one moment that everybody kept like bringing up and being like, oh my God, it was so crazy. Can you guess which moment?
This one, Paul McCartney comes up with Get Back, is it Get Back?
Yeah, so you just kept hearing that. It was like, oh my God, it's so crazy. Like, before that moment, that song didn't exist, and he just pulls it out of thin air and all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, calm down. I mean, it is a magical moment, because everybody's right, you know what I mean? Before that moment, that song was not there, right? But there's the exact same moment happens in this documentary when they're coming up with I Wish I Was, which is the song that Denise referenced. Yeah. And yeah, that's just something I really enjoy whenever you watch like music documentaries or something, which is just how musicians just come up with songs and you're just like, man, that's so crazy. Like, I don't know. I'm not that creative. Like, so I don't know anything about music. I'm not a musician. So to me, it's just like, wow, like that's just such a cool thing to be able to express yourself in that way. Right. And you just see them. Oh, by the way, so the Avett Brothers, obviously, it's, what's their face? I forgot their names. Oh, Scott and Seth. So they're brothers. Grew up together like brothers do, right?
I don't know, maybe.
No, these did grow up together. And yeah, so one of them, I forget which one, is the primary songwriter and the other guy kind of plays guitar. So you just see like the one that does all the songwriting just coming up with the lyrics. And then he's coming up with the words. And this is a cheesy like love song, you know what I mean? So you're just kind of like, I wouldn't feel comfortable like coming up with like a cheesy love song with like my sibling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too intimate for something in front of your Your sibling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, oh, what about your wife? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, he's saying all this stuff.
Even but... that, I'm just like, yeah, no, I wouldn't want to.
Like, he helps me co-write songs and like.
But they're funny songs. They're not like.
I get. In the deeper stuff that I don't feel like it's come out yet. But like on ooh, the deeper stuff the that I've tried, scoop. That I'm trying, that I'll try, like, because I have so many unfinished songs or whatever. I don't know. And then I just think you're like, oh, like before, you know, this moment, like this song didn't exist. And I was like, you know how many songs I freaking written? Like,
right. But the difference is those are like big bangers, dude.
I don't know. I just like, what the, like you are part of, you could be part of that process. Like I've invited you like to, you know, play your drums, play your bass, like play all your toys. Like, but like,
we,
I don't
this
know.
Is going back to the whole, like, now we got yeah. too much stuff.
Right. Bring all your stuff in. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I don't know. Like, it's just weird for you to say that, but it's like, dude, you could be a part of that process.
I know.
But like, Rod's like, no. Like,
well, I did want to mention, speaking of Rick Rubin and all that, he has this book out called The Creative Act. I put in a hold with the public library so that I could get the audiobook so I can listen while
the
I'm...
The audiobook?
I'm all about audiobooks now, man.
Yeah, he is.
Like, last year, I think I read one book, like, the whole year, because it took me a whole year to read the book, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so far in April, I've, like, listened to, like, 5 books, dude. So, in a way, I was like, that's kind of cheating. How do you guys feel about audiobooks?
I don't think it's cheating.
You're like, I'm
not a big reader either, so.
Dude, audiobooks is where it's at, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, and so, like, Bill Burr, he was kind of a comedian, Bill Burr. He was like, yeah, no, I don't like audiobooks. I feel like it's cheating because, like, you know, I actually want to read. I don't, like, you know, I want to do the readings to exercise my brain or whatever. And then the person he was speaking to was like, dude, like, as long as you're getting the information, like, that's what matters. And I was like,
listening is still a lot of exercise yeah? for your brain.
Oh, there we go.
I tell you that all the time, like in meetings and stuff, when I have to listen to all those reports, like I'm tired at the end yeah. of the day, like at the end of that meeting, like after hearing like 4 reports, I'm like, Jesus, okay. Cheese and rice.
Yeah. So anyway, so I put a hold with the library for that one. So I'm excited because it's narrated by Rick Rubin. And you know how he's like this like Zen guy.
Yeah.
So I listened to a sample of it and he definitely has like that cadence of like, okay, we're going to talk about the creative process. And in the sample that I listened to, he kind of mentions how like anything is like a creative act, right? So mm-hmm. it's like anything that wasn't there before and, you know, it's there. He was saying like writing a letter to your friend, like that's a creative act or like, you know, just anything. And I was like, oh man, that's so dope. Anyways. All right.
I agree with that. Yeah. I like writing letters.
Send them in the snail mail and everything?
I used to send them to my grandma. She used to like them. So cool. It's been a while now. But
yeah.
Sometimes when I feel like it, I'll leave nice notes for you. But
aww.
Dude, I am totally open to pen pals. I mean, I don't know if you've seen my mail, but I love mail. Like, oh, yeah. I'm like seriously yeah. legit. You want to send me like a monthly letter? We can do that. Okay. Like, I'm down for pen pals. I have 2.
Nice.
Britta's like, dude, I said I stopped writing my grandma. I don't want to. I'm gonna write to you. But no, yeah, Denise loves writing yeah. letters. So.
My dad was a mailman. It's the whole thing. Like he's retired now, but I mean, I feel like that's where my love of mail came from. So
awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. But Israel, you're a creator.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
create
yeah.
art. We have your beautiful Taco oh, yeah, Tuesday logo predominantly displayed here in our family home.
Rod was like, "Where is that thing?"
I know where it is. Get out of here. I'm just like, kidding. Denise, did you pull it out?
He's like, we got to go buy a frame right now. What time is he getting here? I'm joking. That thing has been up, dude.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, where do you get your inspiration? Do you have, like, I always hear a lot of people say, like, oh, it's like a, you're just there 1 minute, and then it kind of comes through the universe, and you're just like a vessel. I don't know. Do you kind
of
get that?
Vessel of the muse or whatever?
That, yeah, metaphysical into it, or you're just like, nah, dude, I just know what I draw, and I draw it, and.
I would say, I think the people who can do stuff consistently good, well, they make time for it every day. They kind of make it almost like a habit. Probably most 99% of the stuff that you come up with when you're doing stuff every day is probably not that good, but it's like the 1% you get that comes from so much, from doing it every day and making it a habit.
Yeah.
Well, I know another thing that people say is like, if you're a writer, you should like write every day, right? It's like, just fucking write every day. Just do like a page or like so many words or something. And then eventually, like, something good will come out, I guess. Yeah. So, Britta, your creative thing was you would write to your grandmother. You said you haven't done that in a while. So, like, do you have another creative outlet now that you replace it with, or that you just, like, enjoy doing? Or
that's put you on the spot. It comes and goes. Yeah. I do enjoy writing. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I like writing letters, or, like, even, like, some emails if I'm, like, sending somebody a positive note. I don't know. That feels good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not really, as you would say, in the habit. But when I have time, you know, it's fun. I also really enjoy, like, to me, organizing is, like, something I very much enjoy, and, like, just making the space feel cohesive and, like, everything is, like, put together nicely. And to me, I find that kind of creative because I'm like, oh, what looks good, or like, oh, I think this will fit well together. I don't know. That's also something that I really enjoy.
No, I love that. Along those same lines, like not in that same sense, but we're not to bicker here in front of everybody. But one of the reasons why I can't just like sit and, you know, be creative is because to me, like, I'm like, I can't do that if we have a mess. You know what I mean?
I'm so, the same way.
Yeah.
I need it to be like pristine, clean. Like I will clean and then be like, okay, the space is ready. Or but I'll then, organize. But then
you're tired and you're just like,
oh, yeah, and then I'm tired. And then it gets dirty again. I'm like, oh, I got to clean again. Yeah.
No, yes. The struggle is real.
Vicious cycle.
Yes. And it never ends. I don't know if you guys have like indoor pets, but we have two like giant dogs and one of them sheds like crazy.
Yeah.
And like you're just never done cleaning. You're just always like Swiffering or always freaking vacuuming or always this or always that. You're just like, all right, well, I guess I can't be creative. But now I know that that's another way of being creative as well. So that's good.
I think so. Not cleaning per se, but like
more organizing.
Organizing.
And putting things together. And,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah, that I don't have that. Yeah. Sad times. God damn it. Yeah,
I like that idea. I've never heard that before. Of just anything you do throughout the day can be creative.
Yeah. I'm so excited for the. And I guess I could just freaking buy the audiobook, but I'm like, I'm trying to not just do that. So I'm taking advantage of the public library system. So, but yeah, I'm excited for it. Yeah.
So how do you get the audiobook from the library?
So there's this app. Everybody hears a life hack. And I've preached this to anybody who will listen. But so there's an app called Libby. So you go on Libby and then as long as you have a library card. And during the pandemic, you could actually get an LA City library card, like no matter where you lived. You just went online and they give you like an e-library card. And then you use that to sign up for Libby, and then you just go on there, look for whatever title you're looking for. It'll be like either an audiobook or in ebook format. Then if it's available right then and there, you just like borrow it right then and there. But some of the more popular titles, you know, there might be like a waiting list or something. So you just like click hold, and then once it's ready, it'll send you a notification and you just listen to it on whatever device you want, like on your phone, on a tablet, whatever, on the computer.
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think it's freaking awesome. And I tell everybody, but everybody's like, nah. I'm just like, whatever, dude.
What? My mom uses it.
Yeah, that's true. Because I guess the other thing is you could just subscribe to Audible, I guess, and then just do it.
Or
that way.
Amazon. Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be available instantly? Why would there be a waiting list for?
You know what? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's a digital thing. Like you have infinite amounts of it. Just send me the file. But no, I guess it's like a legal thing where they only buy so many licenses.
Oh, okay. I see. That makes sense.
Because it's the same with books, right? Like,
yeah, same with the ebooks and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there are, you know, you could go sail the seven seas and get them illegally, you know, but...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. We're trying to be on the up and up here on the LPP. Definitely check it out. It's really cool. All right. And with that was all our songs, everybody. Any last comments, questions, concerns? No, Britta, what you think about the show? You think you'd want to come back, do it again?
Yeah, I would do this again.
Nice, dope. So we only do it once a month now, so it's gonna be a while before we get back on the whole rotation.
Yeah. We gotta get through all our friends. We're trying to rotate like bands and stuff, but we'll see. Like, it's what episode is this? 5?
Oh, since we've been back?
Yeah.
No, I think it's like 10, dude.
No.
Yeah, we started in like September. Anyways, whatever.
Do you know how to count?
You guys are getting bands in here too?
Cool. We've had two, right?
Two, yeah. And I've reached out to a couple. And that's like the kind of like we don't know these people. And yeah, we used to do that way back in the day. Like, we would just, like, meet people and, like, yeah, be like, come on
come
over.
To where I live?
But now it's, like, that's a little bit different now. I'm like, damn. I don't know. But we're trying to, you know, like, ease into that, like, having bands over that we feel comfortable with, that we see, like, constantly at gigs and open mics and stuff. So nice. It's been an interesting, like, I hope we can get, like, more bands and stuff that we feel comfortable with. It's hit or miss sometimes, like, yeah. But
you meet some characters sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But anyway, like yeah, that's the, oh. Hey, Israel turned out to be one of the good ones. For sure. We'll put you on the comeback list for sure. And the next time you can, you know, select the theme, since Israel already had a chance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll look forward
Sounds
to that.
Sounds good.
Any if you want people to get a hold of you for whatever reason, anywhere you wanna, maybe you have a website where people can check out your stuff, or social media where you don't mind them reaching out.
I'm at IOSanchezIO on Instagram.
On the gram. All right.
Yep.
Britta, you're like.
I'm BA Peters on Instagram.
All right. There you go. And then Denise, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
At D for Music, DeeFur Music on Instagram.
All right. And if you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to go. rod@lppod.com. That's rod@lppod.com. We're everywhere you get podcasts. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you already know that. But maybe you're listening on the website for some reason, because, I don't know, you're old and you don't know how apps work or something. I don't know. Anyways, we're on all the apps. We're like on iTunes. No, wait. Apple Podcasts. They have their separate app. They split it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're on Spotify. They haven't kicked us off yet, even though we play all these songs without permission. I think there's like a loophole that we're taking advantage of. That
educational podcast.
Yes, there you go. As long as it's a critique or whatever, they let you. If you want to check out even more podcasts featuring Denise and myself, head on over to talkingisheart.com. There's only one other podcast that's still active out there besides this one, which is the 110 podcast, which Denise mentioned earlier. She puts a lot of work into that, so yeah, check it out. If you want to find some newer bands that don't have a lot of listens, and you want to be like the cool guy at work or at school, and you want to be like, hey man, check out this band I found. And
yeah.
Like, you only got like 200 listens. I don't know. She's also been promoting a lot of the live shows that these bands are putting together, and that's been a lot of fun. We've gotten to see a lot of little bands and like weird little venues and stuff.
Yeah.
Are you guys still
a lot of work
around, or making your way around LA to see bands, or is it more local?
No, yeah, last night we were in Glendale.
Yeah.
I've never been to Glendale, dude.
Yes, you have, because we drove by the Star Wars place. We went to Glendale to see a couple bands, so it was kind of like two birds with one stone. It was really cool. And then we were driving back to the freeway, and Rod was like, hey, you took a picture there one time, and it was like the Star Wars.
No, it was a sex store.
Oh, yeah, it was a we took a picture with the big old sex store sign.
And then every time we drive by like a sex store, I'm like, hey, check out the sex store. I was like, wait a minute, like, you took a picture there.
And I was like, oh, yeah, like, so we went to this like Star Wars convention or whatever, like in a warehouse.
It was like an art gallery thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a warehouse for like a Star Wars day or something.
Yeah.
And
I was like, oh, yeah, we parked in this parking lot. And then we kept driving. We were like, oh, yeah, we ate at this Denny's afterwards.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, how many years ago did you say?
That was 10 years ago.
Like, the memory had just like popped up in his like feed. And he was like, dude, that was 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's been 10 years since we've been back here.
Yeah. That's why I thought I hadn't been to Glendale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we checked out this little, it was like an art gallery. It was really small, really loud, with some like punkish like rock bands, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was cool. We're trying to support like any bands that I have on. Like, if they're local, I try and go see them, you know.
Also, we're trying to take advantage of it before we get even older, because like, there's a lot of young people at these shows, man. It's like, oh my God, I feel old.
Yeah, we're like the oldest ones. And then there's this
except
one
for
band.
The moms. There were a couple moms.
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, look at them. And I was like, yeah, they're probably like their parents. Yeah.
Well, good. Maybe you guys give off like a record executive vibe or something.
We're just like scouting
Scouts,
for talent.
Yeah.
I dig it. But anyways, yeah, so definitely check out that podcast. Sorry, we got derailed there. Thank you very much. Thank you, Israel. Thank you, Britta.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
We can't wait to have you guys back. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
That was like a blast from the past. I forgot about Susan Sanchez.
He was just gonna